We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah. Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, former NFL quarterback, now with ESPN.
Does a great job.
On Sirius XM 84 ESPNU channel there. And he's with us now on the hotline. Greg, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Fellas, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
How do you find the transition, not that you just started, but how do you find the transition from athlete to broadcaster? Are you enjoying it?
I am. It is as fulfilling as I thought it'd be. I was a little concerned. You know, you naturally, and you guys know, you've been around sports forever. You think you're going to miss that locker room camaraderie, right? That's what you
right.
think you're going to miss more than anything else. And there are times when you kind of miss that banter and the back and forth, but get enough of that on the golf course. And believe me, with the teammates that I travel with on a weekly basis with our game crew, nothing goes unseen or unheard. So we bust each other up pretty good. So it feels a little similar, except we do so with a much more with a much more mindful thought towards being appropriate in the workplace, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking with Greg McElroy. Greg, you know, the Browns are sort of looking here at a fresh start, right, in terms of they have the number one pick. They've got the fourth overall pick. They're looking for a quarterback. You cover it as well as anybody. You get to know these players and everything. Let's just start with who's your top quarterback in terms of who the Browns should look at right now.
Well, if I'm Cleveland, I have to take into account a lot more than just the tape. I have to take into account the fit and the culture and the type of player that the fan base will support. I mean, Cleveland is a unique city. It's a wonderful town. It's a proud town. And if you draft a guy like Josh Rosen from UCLA, will he be able to endear himself to the fan base the same way that one of the other guys might be able to? So I think that you have to first identify which guy best fits, not only in our organization, but in our city. And that's a question that they're going to have to answer. So like I kind of alluded to already, Josh Rosen, albeit maybe the most pure passer in the NFL draft, I'm not sure he's the best fit for the Browns at this juncture. Darnold from USC, Sam Darnold would probably be my top pick if this draft were going on a year ago. And Sam Darnold was eligible and he was coming out, he'd be no questions asked the first quarterback taken. But some questions arose this year in watching him, and he didn't have the same supporting cast. He didn't have the same level of consistent decision-making, and the accuracy at times dwindled from where it was the year before. But there were still moments in which he made plays that kind of made your jaw drop. So the safest pick to me, I know it's a USC quarterback, and they're never real safe. You guys know that because there's one on the roster there in Cleveland right now.
Yeah.
SC quarterbacks are far from a sure thing. But this is not the USC team of old that Sam Darnold played for. There were very few NFL weapons around him outside of Juju Smith-Schuster. The offensive line was average as can be, and his running back, Ronald Jones, will be an NFL player. But as far as the guys that he had on the team this year, it was a pretty average group.
We got two national champs with us right now. Dustin won a national championship at Ohio State. Greg McElroy won a championship at Alabama. So two national champs right now. So, Greg, let me ask you, you bring up Josh Rosen, and a lot of people that we've had on have said similar things to what you have about Rosen. I thought you put it in an interesting way, more than others have, in terms of endearing himself to the fans. But you also said he might be the best pure passer. And, you know, I've advocated for Rosen. You know him better than I do. I don't know him at all. Obviously. So ultimately, I guess my thought is if he's the best player, even if he's a rough around the edges, if he plays great, the fans will come around on him, even if maybe he rubs them the wrong way at first. Are you concerned that maybe he's not the hardest worker also?
No, I think he grinds, and his teammates have never come out and you've never heard anything negative from them. And that's really who should be the judge and jury, right?
Sure.
I mean, the teammates and people, believe me, everyone in college football has been critical of Baker Mayfield at time or two and taking things too far or just not being professional with the way he carries himself and acting in a high-character way. But his teammates love him. So how can we really be critical? Because that's really who should really matter when it comes to judging a guy's character and his competitiveness. The question that I have, though, guys, and you know this, quarterback, so much of being successful at that position because it requires so much additional time, is how much do you truly love the position? Do you love playing the game? Like, can you live without it? Because if you told Baker Mayfield, hey, Baker, just so you know, hey, you're not going to be able to play football anymore, he would literally jump off a bridge. I mean, he would lose his mind. I mean, he couldn't function. Football is who he is. It's what he's most passionate about. And I don't get the same sense from Josh Rosen. If you told Josh Rosen that, hey, you can't play football anymore, he'd probably say, okay, well, I'll be very successful doing whatever it is I choose to do. And I do think that that's not necessarily a knock. It's just, is it really? Well,
it's a reality. It's a reality, Greg.
The other guys.
It's a reality.
It has to be an obsession. Yeah. Like playing quarterback in the NFL, it's not just about, hey, this is my job. You can't do it because you love the money, you love the glam. You have to do it because you're obsessed with being the best. That's why some of the best in the business are borderline crazy.
Right.
Like Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, all a little crazy, hyper competitive spirits. And I just don't know if Josh Rosen checks those same boxes.
Interesting stuff. What do you think, Bull, about that?
I understand what you're saying. I mean, I'll be honest, when Greg was saying that,
because my partner Greg loves Rosen.
I like Rosen a lot, and my first thought was, well, I don't know. Like, I feel like Miles Garrett's a guy who could survive without football too. But then you did specify quarterback, and so I guess that's the difference.
That is the difference. I mean, quarterback's just held to a different standard.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
The level of study and preparation, week in and week out, is on a whole nother level.
Yeah,
you've got to beat 11 players on every given snap. And the Miles Garrett, and yeah, he is a little bit interesting. He, you know, he likes art and paints and draws and writes and reads and is a unique character in that regard. But when it comes to game day, he's got to beat that one dude. And if he knows how to beat that guy and it's based purely on physical ability and athleticism, it's a little different. The quarterback is mental. It requires so many intangibles. And I just can't really hold quarterback to the same standard that I would Miles Garrett, because he's going to be a remarkable player as long as he continues to stay healthy.
Greg McElroy from ESPN is our guest. We're talking about some of these quarterbacks the Browns are going to be looking at. Greg, I'll be honest with you, man. I've got a little like infatuation with Baker Mayfield. Like, I got a little man crush on him. I think
join the club.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I love the guy.
I mean,
you know, down at the Senior Bowl, we had him on the show. I was down there. His competitive nature, he gave us an answer about playing in Cleveland that was just phenomenal. I think he fits the mold, and I know that the comparisons are out there with Johnny Manziel and, you know, all that stuff, but I think he's different, I think he's special, and I think he can change a franchise.
It's just, do you take him at one or four?
You got to take him at one. If you think that's the guy, I think.
I mean, it's just, that's the thing. I think if there's a possibility he'll be there at five, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's value, and then you take those things into account. If I'm going to – and I don't know, you know, the draft value and the grades and the slots and how that chart works and all that stuff. That's all a little bit above my pay grade. But I do know when it comes to evaluating players, if I had to win a game, like if you told me tomorrow, hey, you have these four quarterbacks over here, you have Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Sam Darnold, I had to win a game tomorrow, I'm taking Baker Mayfield. I mean, but will he be the same guy that Sam Darnold's going to be 10 years from now? And that's the question you have to kind of ask yourself. How much better can he get? Or has he already maximized his abilities as much as humanly possible? That's my biggest question with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't love the guy. I love his mentality. I love his approach to the game. He's more accurate than people realize. He's more efficient from the pocket than I ever knew prior to really studying him prior to the Senior Bowl. I mean, he is an efficient guy that understands exactly how to get the job done. And with the game on the line, there's not a guy out of the four that you'd rather have with the ball in his hand. The guy just makes plays. But what is he going to be? Can he ever become a top five quarterback in the NFL? I don't know that. I really have questions as to whether or not his ceiling is as high as some of the others. But with the amount of misses that Cleveland has had at the position, do you go with a guy that might have a couple question marks and might have a little bit more limited ceiling, but he's a playmaker and he's going to fire up the guys and he's going to get everyone on his side? I can understand that line of thought for sure.
We're talking with Greg McElroy, Alabama national champion, former NFL quarterback, now with ESPN. Greg, you started to say Lamar Jackson, and I'm just – obviously, it seems like the Browns are not going to take him high in the first round, but I think somebody's going to take him in the first round. And I'm curious what you think, because obviously the athleticism is through the roof. Apparently, he's a very hard worker by all accounts. The statistic, you know, it's funny. I feel like people are totally ignoring Josh Allen, are saying, let's ignore Josh Allen's bad stats in college. And on the same hand, they're saying, let's ignore Lamar Jackson's good stats in college. And his stats right. A million times better than Michael Vick's in college. What do you think about him? It's got to be the right coach with the right system. We get it. Do you think he could succeed at the next level?
I do have concerns about the accuracy.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
That's to be expected. But the more explosiveness that you have with your legs, and I know the game, it might be a little more lethargic in the NFL to change than it is in other places. But people are starting to sprinkle in aspects of the collegiate-style offense. Like, you're seeing Kansas City run some college principles.
Yep.
I don't think Tyreek Hill would be the same team, would be the same guy today as he would have been 10 years ago. He wouldn't be used the same way.
Yep.
And he wouldn't have checked all the boxes, but he's explosive. And now it's about completions and short completions and RPOs and jet sweeps and creating unique ways of getting the ball in your most dynamic playmaker's hands. And Lamar Jackson's one of the most dynamic playmakers in the draft. So if you're going to put him into a square peg into a round hole, you say, hey, Lamar, you got to be a pro-style passer. We need you to drop back on act two and three and hit a seven-step drop on comeback 9 times out of 10. We need you to be efficient in that regard. You got to anticipate throws over the middle. He's going to struggle, it may be at least early in his career. But if you say, hey, we're going to make you and we're going to take and adopt the principles that they used in Philadelphia to win a Super Bowl by using some of these RPOs, those are things he's very comfortable with. And if you look at the tape from 2016 and then compare it to the tape from this past year, the progress throwing the football is obvious. Now, it might not have always been against great defenses, because if you look at him against Clemson, he got swamped up. But if you look at him against North Carolina, he chopped them up and made some throws in that game that he had never made at any point in his college career to that point. Then you look at him against Mississippi State, it's kind of ugly. You look at him a little in some other games, though, he lights him up. I mean, it's kind of hit or miss with him. He's a little streaky. And with the right coaching, remember, he's still young. He's 21 years old. So I'd love to see him get into a situation like in New Orleans or in Baltimore or somewhere where he won't be forced onto the field immediately. Someone with an entrenched starter. Washington would be a good spot for him. Learn from Alex Smith 3 or 4 years, develop under a true pro in Alex Smith, who's also athletic, with Jay Gruden, who's going to do some things that are interesting offensively. Then maybe 3-4 years down the road, he steps into the spotlight. But I think that there's a real possibility, knowing that the fifth-year option becomes so important to the quarterback spot, the fifth-year option given to the first-round picks, I wouldn't be shocked to see him go at the end of the first at all. If not higher, if he blows people away at the combine.
No doubt. Greg McElroy, ESPN's our guest. Greg, you know, Josh Allen is intriguing because he looks the part. He can make the throws at times, but he's also wildly inconsistent in his accuracy. Has been a problem at college. His accuracy was a problem at the Senior Bowl in practices that I watched firsthand. I'm scared of the guy. And he's a great kid and all that stuff, But if I'm the Browns, I don't know that I'd take the risk on that guy. What say you?
All right, so this is my take on Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen needs to take his contract, take 10% of that contract, and send it to Carson Wentz. Because Carson Wentz lighting it up the way that he's doing in Philadelphia is a big reason why people are high on Josh Allen. It's not to say that Josh Allen's not a capable player, because he is. He's got a lot of arm talent. If you look at him just in shorts, he's off the charts. He's going to test really well, and he'll blow people away with his arm strength. It's off the charts good. But can he hone that down a little bit And you saw progress throughout the week at the Senior Bowl. Didn't put as much on his passes, made it a little bit more catchable for his wide receivers as the week went on. He got a little more comfortable. But the reason why he's, I think, being talked about as a potential first overall pick is because of two things. One, because Carson Wentz from that North Dakota State system, Craig Bohl was the head coach at North Dakota State. Now he's at Wyoming. He groomed Josh Allen. And then two, he fits the mold and the body type of an AFC North quarterback. He reminds people of Flacco. He reminds people of Roethlisberger. So makes sense that he would fit in Cleveland, right? He's used to the cold weather. He's one of the only guys that's handled that and experienced that well and hasn't had any adversity handling it. He's a blue-collar guy. He just resembles Cleveland in general, just has toughness about him. But I think when you look at the efficiency and you really dive into it, I have issues. The accuracy is in question. I think he throws it too hard sometimes. He overthrows wide receivers on a number of different occasions. He can make the spectacular throw, but the consistency down in, down out isn't on the same level as the other three guys that are being mentioned there at the top of the draft.
Greg, let's talk about one of your former teammates, A.J. McCarron. He's now been declared a free agent. The Browns are obviously interested. They tried to trade for him last year. What do you think? Do you think he's going to be a starter in the NFL?
I mean, A.J.'s a friend, so I've known him a long time, and I'm obviously rooting for him to become a starter. But if I have to put my analyst cap on, I have to ask the question, what's the difference between A.J., Brock Osweiler, and Mike Glennon? I have my questions there.
Yeah,
and we've seen backups get big money, and it just hasn't come to fruition. So it's not to say that he can't be different. It's just I don't have the proof to think otherwise. I think back to the time when he played in 2013. I think about his supporting cast. I mean, you guys remember how stacked that Bengals team was? I mean, Andy Dalton was an MVP before he broke his hand.
He was.
You had Marvin Jones as your number three wide receiver. Muhammad Sanu as your two. A.J. Green as your one. You had Tyler Eifert and Jermaine Gresham at tight end. You had Jeremy Hill, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Giovanni Bernard. I mean, it was a who's who. It was Andrew Whitworth at left tackle, Zeitler at left guard, Bowling. I mean, unbelievable roster. And they were as talented as anybody that year, I think. And if Dalton stays healthy, there's no telling what could have happened as the playoffs rolled around. But then again, we are talking about the Bengals.
That's true.
So I look at it and I hope AJ gets paid a ton of money and I hope he gets a chance to start. But if I'm a GM, I have my concerns and my doubts that he won't be like the other guys. I certainly hope he's not, because as a fan of his and as a fan of his family and having known him since he was 16 years old, I would love to see him get that shot, because I know he wants it more than anything in the world. But I have my reservations a little bit if I'm going to be real analytical about how I'm evaluating some of these free agent propositions.
Hey, good job out of you, Greg, because I feel like a lot of guys would not have the
guts.
Yeah, guys wouldn't be honest about it. We appreciate that that you are.
You got to be fair.
You got to be fair about it. Yeah,
I don't mean it negatively.
Sure,
I mean, we got to service the audience, right?
That's right. You got to be true.
And if he signs in Cleveland, I think that's the best spot for him, because of his familiarity with Hugh.
Right.
And Hugh knows his strengths.
Yeah.
Hugh knows what he's getting. And if they have another rookie quarterback, he'd be a good guy to bring along. I mean, if there's a place for him to go, I think every quarterback would love to go to Denver, to be frank. I mean, that's an ideal spot to play QB right now with Elway and the tutelage, the defense they have, and the weapons they have on offense. But Cleveland, I think, for AJ would be a terrific fit. So if it comes to fruition, I think it'd be great for all parties.
Greg, last thing, and we appreciate the time. Sorry to keep you so long. You've just given us some good stuff. Minka Fitzpatrick, maybe to me, as a former defensive back, like the most complete DB I've seen like the last decade coming into the NFL. He's smart. He's physical. He can play corner, inside corner. He can play safety. I think the Browns should draft him at four if he's there. I don't know if he'll be there or not. You played at Alabama. You cover the SEC. How good is he?
I mean, he's awesome, man. I mean, he's... And there's a newfound premium on the position, just because of what Jalen Ramsey's done already in such a short period of time in Jacksonville. So having a guy that's long, that can play safety and corner, that can match up with tight ends if necessary, can play inside and outside, his versatility is just so intriguing. And he's such a good kid, too. I mean, just covering him the last few years and getting to know him.
He said, Greg, he said in an article, like, the only thing bad he does is he feels bad for playing Grand Theft Auto. He doesn't go out. He's like the greatest kid ever, right?
This kid is the real deal. Like, yeah. So many guys are going to put on a happy face come draft time. Hey, oh, I'm the greatest prospect ever. I've never drank a beer in my life, you know, even though I had 14 the night before. of course. Yeah. Like, that's probably one of the things that I like most about Carson Wentz. You know what Carson Wentz said after Indianapolis Combine? They said, what are you going to do when you get on the plane to go home? He said, I'm going to crack open a couple beers. Like, who doesn't love that?
Yeah,
like, that's
right.
Honesty.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
Yeah. Like, but I really believe that what you see is what you get with Minka. I can't speak to his social life. I have no idea. But I do know that in my times covering him and the work that he puts in, the amount of respect that he commands from the Alabama coaching staff, I mean, there's been some really good ones that have come through there, and they speak as highly of him as anyone else. And to think that he was playing alongside some other really good players that will all have futures on Sundays and still stood out as much as he did is pretty remarkable. So the consistency and the versatility are so intriguing. Four is a possibility. I think that if Saquon Barkley's there at four and you don't take him, that might be a bit of a mistake, even though I know the Browns have had struggles drafting quarterbacks or drafting running backs in the top four before, in recent years especially. But Saquon Barkley is a game changer. But if Minka falls to you guys and Saquon's not there, then, man, good for y'all, because that's a great spot to be in.
Greg, great stuff, man. We appreciate the
Excellent
time.
Stuff.
Fantastic. What a life this guy's living, right? He's
Greg's
29.
A star, man.
He's kicking butt on ESPN. He's he's lived in L.A., Texas, Alabama, New York. Not much difference in those four places, right? I mean, unbelievable. Yeah. He's unreal. Yeah. Greg, we appreciate
Thanks,
the
Greg.
Time. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it, guys.
Greg McElroy does a great job.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.